myself a long time ago. I forgot to remember who actually wrote that. That's back when songs had a melody. I was reviewing some music for the choir, and seems like over and over and over, it's da 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 da. If I preached like that, they would complain. They don't want the melody to get in the way of the rhythm. That's what's going on there. I was a musician, I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about. That's what they're doing. They don't want to get in the way of the rhythm. Let's take our Bibles, and we're back to Malachi chapter 1. We're not moving very fast. Not moving very fast. Today, smile. This is going to be a tough one. And it's tough on all of us. It's going to hit us where we live, where we all live. And chances are we've all been guilty of some of this somewhere along the way. We're talking about how to avoid the silent treatment of God. The reason I say that is because God gives these items here, this short little book, and he gives them very straight, clear, pointed issues. And he said, I want you to think about that. We've talked about a lot of things, but let's boil it down to life itself, family, personal issues, finances. That's what he's talking about in this book. We're going to get there. And he boils it down and says, these are things that are telltale signs of where your heart is. And he says, now, I'm going to tell you these things. Now, if these things were not an issue, we probably wouldn't have to have the next 400 years of silence. There's going to be 400 years from the end of Malachi to Matthew when John the Baptist comes, announcing the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, the problem is, there's 400 years here. It's enough to make God go silent. And the things I'm going to talk about today, you know what we're going to think? Well, what's the big deal? And see, that's the problem. These things are a big deal to God. But they're not a big deal to us. But they should be. If it's a big deal to God, then it should be a big deal to me. And the fact is, you know, this did not happen overnight to Israel. And this has not happened to our society overnight. Generations have gone by and we have gotten accustomed to some things. And we've made it just part of our daily routine. Our whole philosophy of life has changed in just a couple generations. And he's showing us some things. And the problem is, when we see these things, we don't think they're a big deal. And God says they are a big deal. And what's even worse is, well, you know, we're doing fine. I mean, God, I don't feel like God's any further away from him than he has been for years. Well, maybe just think about how close he may be if we allow these things to be a big deal in our life, they are in him, as they are in his life. You know what I mean? If we weighted these things the way he weights these things. So let's read. I'm going to read 8 verses here. Starting in verse number 1 of Malachi chapter 1, the burden, the weight that's on on God's heart, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Go back and get the messages a couple weeks ago so you understand all that, all right? Get on the online and get it, or buy the CD. I don't want you to, if you haven't heard those other messages, you need to hear those and wonder what, so you know what God's saying here. Whereas Edom, of course, that's the people of Esau, saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. We don't need God, we're just fine. God's going to tear us down? Listen, if God's tearing you down, don't you think it ought to get your attention? God says, I'm letting this stuff fall to pieces. Oh, that's okay. We're fine. We don't need you, God. Well, why? why do we have to live like that? So we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse there. And the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. That's what it called. Those are people that God doesn't like. That's all right. We don't need God. We'll be fine all by ourselves. Verse 5. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. We want to be different. And look at this. We started here last week. A son. This is, I got an issue here. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master, honors his master. If then I be a father, where's mine honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have ye polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. We can ignore it. It's no big deal. We can overlook it. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't really matter what you do to the Lord. He's supposed to love you anyway. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lamb, the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with the lee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Of course, he's referring there to the offering. You're supposed to bring the best unblemished lamb. It's a picture of Christ. Unblemished lamb to sacrifice. And of course they're saying, we got this one, I'm sure it's only going to live for a couple more weeks anyway, and nobody wants to eat it. We'll just take that down. Kill two birds with one stone. I'll get rid of that thing and offer it to the Lord. And so, if the mayor of the city shows, if the mayor of the town shows up for dinner and you offer him junk for dinner, how do you think he would like it? Well, he probably wouldn't like it. Well, why would we give it to God? The leftovers. So let's talk about this here this morning. We're talking about show some respect. And we're just going to do a part two on this thing, Jack. Show some respect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, this is a tough one. And it wouldn't be a blessing. And just as God started all this out with, I love you. And I know you don't think so, but I do. Lord, that's what I'm doing here with our folks. I love these folks. And I want them to see God work in their life in a mighty way. And sometimes they just wonder why you don't really feel like they're getting much from God. They talk, they pray, and nothing really happens. They read their Bible and really don't get much out of it. And they're living their life, and they feel like they're having to fend for themselves. And after a while, they're wondering if God even loves them. And it could be that there's some things we need to just have brought to our attention. Inadvertently, not even thinking about it, we've set God on the shelf. We get him down and polish him off on Sunday and put him back on the shelf. Rather than having a really true relationship of love. So Lord, I pray that you help me. And again, I need your Holy Spirit. And use this thing to speak to our hearts, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me get a running start on this. The Lord's been trying to get the attention of the people of Israel. He's made it very clear what he wanted. And if we want to avoid the silent treatment from God, that point where you just feel like God's out there and he's not listening and he's not talking and I don't know. I mean, I go to church and get little bits and pieces, but personally, I'm just not sure there's a communication there. There's somehow it seems to be cut off. There are probably some things we need to do. And most often the silent treatment from God begins when we stop spending time with the Lord and we give him the silent treatment. We put him on the shelf, we take him down if we think we need him, and then we put him back on the shelf. Be honest with you, sometimes we're as bad as we say, we're not idol worshipers, but sometimes that's what we treat him like. We take him down, we rub him off, and wish, and put it up there. You know, I don't think it helped anything. We live in a country where we have been blessed, and we take the blessings, we forget the blesser. And I know he's talking to Israel. Well, let's look at it this way. The people of God. That's us. The people of God have come to a point that they don't think that they need God and actually do not really see much benefit in having a relationship with God because it appears to be of little value. They've lost the perspective of God, of who God is. They have little, if any, fear of God and are doing as they please. So, well, I know you mean I don't have fear of God. If we really believe that God was who He is, and He sees all things and knows all things, and that He really is all powerful, and that really does make a difference in our life, I think there's some things we would change. Just as you know, somebody you're talking about somebody, and someone walks in the room, you change your conversation. Well, you don't want them to hear that. You realize there's nothing that God doesn't hear. Not only does he hear what comes out of your mouth, he hears what's in your heart. The thought of foolishness. The thought of foolishness is sin. This is our society today. We have very little fear of God, and we're doing as we please. We have much of what we want. We think we've provided it for ourselves, and we have just worked the system. But who put the system in place and keeps the world going? I mean, you know, we would have nothing without God Himself. And the Lord is telling them, or telling us, that they are giving Him the leftovers of their lives. Now, real quickly, a few points from last time. The people have forgotten God in the midst of all their blessings. We're so busy with all the goodies and all the things that go on in life, we've forgotten God. We've forgotten what God has done. You remember the day you got saved, you realized you were going to hell, and you received Christ, you're saved, and now you're not? And you kind of just, I feel pretty good. But then we went on with life. And he got stuck in the back. We've forgotten who God is. We've forgotten he's all-powerful. You realize he can put our lights out? Just as he said, let there be light and turn light on, he can turn lights out. He's all-knowing. He knows exactly what we are thinking and what we're doing. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He's in here right now. And he knows the thoughts that we're thinking right at this moment. And you know what? We're not going to be able to get away from him because he's eternal. In fact, well, when I die, then I'll be done with him. No, you'll just be getting started. They've forgotten that it was the Lord that delivered them. We forget the Lord. You say, well, I haven't forgotten him, but do we live like we know he's right here? You say, oh, I know. Yes, but I mean, what difference is it making in what you're actually doing in life? The people are not giving God his rightful respect. He says, a son honors his father and a servant honors a master. What about me? You just blow me off. You don't care what's going on. You know, you don't even care what I think. You do your own thing. I ask you to do this, and you say, oh, it doesn't matter. So if you went to work today and the boss told you, I want you to go clean out that back room, and you said, well, maybe. I'll get to it. How would he like it? Well, I probably wouldn't be working there very long. And yet, because God's merciful, we think we can brush him off. Now, does he still love us? Yes. But you know what? You're not going to have that sweet relationship that you're supposed to have. We need to give him the honor. A word really means to let God carry a make. How was it? Let God carry the weight that he should in our heart. In other words, we should give him the place of weight, of heaviness, of importance, of priority. The fact is, if I'm in my office and my wife calls, be honest with you, it carries a different weight than if I've got somebody trying to sell me something. It carries a different weight. How important is God in your life? How much does his word mean to you? In fact, tell you the truth, he says the servant gives his master fear. What's that mean? That means, you know, that guy pays my bills. If I don't do what the master says, I don't have a job. I don't have anything to pay my bills. The fact is, ultimately, God is the one who pays our bills. God is the one who gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us hope. And we just slough him off. And we wonder why God's saying, well, you want to live without me? Fine. That's what he's saying about Esau. You don't need me? If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you know the story. Esau sells his birthright. I don't need God. Well, fine. You don't have me. And sometimes we don't even extend simple human respect. Sometimes we treat God as a non-entity. We ignore God as if he just doesn't even exist. We go on about our life. When's the last time you woke up in the morning and said, good morning, Lord? Or you say, good Lord, it's morning. When's the last time you said, I'm not trying to be silly when I said keep the line open. Never hang up. Now some of us text like we never hang up. We're on Facebook like we never hang up. In fact, we're so texting and Facebook and Snapchat and all this crazy stuff, we don't have time to take his calls. We live life as if God is of no consequence. We live without even acknowledging his presence in the room. It's been some time ago, one of our men came here and he came in to visit and so forth. He says, you know, I noticed something. You pray at the beginning of the service, then you pray at the, you know, at least at the offering, and then you pray before the message, and then you pray at the end of the message, and a lot of times you pray before you actually leave. He said, the church I was going to before, I'm not sure we ever prayed. We had the band, we had the music, we had the sermonette, and we went home. Well, you realize in the book of Revelation when it says, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice, we use that to say you ought to let him in your heart and receive him as Jesus as your Savior. Well, that's fine, you can use it, but really we know what it's talking about. It's talking to the church. He says, church is in there having church. And Jesus is outside the door and said, hey, can I come in? Hey, what? No, it's too crowded in here already. We don't have room for Jesus in the church. We've taken our lives, we've made it so full of all the stuff that he's blessed us with that we've pushed him right out the side. How would you like if someone walked in the room and didn't acknowledge your presence? Now, I know sometimes I'll get busy. I'm thinking about a visitor over here. I need to shake their hand. I got somebody on this side of the room, you know, and I'll come by and know that someone was sick, and I'll say, hey, you doing okay? And I'll go on, and there was somebody standing right next to him, and I never said a thing to him. Because I'm trying to get to this person, that person, and then later I think, oh, man, they're going to think I didn't even care about them. And I'm just trying to catch as many as I can. And, you know, you get over it. You say, well, the preacher, he doesn't have a whole lot of stick him up here, so, you know, you got to give him a little break. And so I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that. But fact is, if you were in a room with three or four people, someone comes in and acknowledges everybody else and don't acknowledge you, what would you think? What am I saying? I'm saying we're supposed to live and practice the presence of God. Now, I don't say walk in a room and say, hi, Janet, and hi, Sarah, and, you know, and hi, Esther, and hi, God. And I'm not saying, you know, you need to do that. But the fact is, you need to live like he exists because he does. The people were not taking their relationship with God seriously. He says, oh, priest, verse 6, you despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised it? He said, you look down, you don't even care about my name. Oh, yeah, God. It's more of a curse word than it's really to talk to him. He said, well, what do you mean we despise? He said, well, you know what you're doing? He said, you're offering polluted things on the altar, things that are of no great price. He says, well, we're doing our obligation of coming near to God, but doing the least we have to do, spending the least amount and the least amount of time at the minimum cost. We don't want to give him our priority. We don't want to waste anything good on God. The people are not going to allow the relationship with God to make any kind of change in their lives to match it. We're not going to let God make them change anything. We're going to do what we want. And we can tell what God means to us by the extent that we go to please God. We can tell what God means to us by the way we worship, by the significance God has in our lives, by the value we place on our relationship with Him, by the way we allow God to control our lives and schedules and finances. Verse 8 says, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Just offer it to the governor. See how he likes it. Now, that was the last 2 weeks here. I want to get into something here this morning. And a lot of little things. We're going to try to make some application. I'm not here to hurt you. But I want you to be able to... And we're not going to fix all these things right away. And we've all had the issues. But I want you to think about some things. The Lord is quite direct in this passage. And I'm going to be pretty direct here this morning. First of all, I want to say, we have despised God's name, and yet we say, wherein have we despised God's name? First of all, if God says we've made light of Him, it's true. And for us to question Him right there is to say God doesn't know what He's talking about. So we've got to be careful before we ever get started. Well, won't God? What's the matter with you? Well, right there. How dare we? It's not me. I'm talking about God's Word here. And listen, there's some things He stepped on my toes about some too. And it's so easy to do that. But if all of a sudden, if you start arguing with God right there, we get bitter because something didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. And now we're mad at God. Man, I want to step over here in case you get struck by lightning. Why won't you get struck? Because God's merciful. And He's not willing that any should perish. James and John says, we call down lightning. He says, I didn't come to take lives, I came to give life. Let's just move on. But what did He do? If you know that story, He just moved on. What about all those people in that town who could have met Jesus? They didn't. He moved on. They didn't even know what they missed when they just said, well, I don't need Jesus around here. They have no idea what they missed. They just missed it. He may not strike you down with lightning, but that doesn't mean He's happy, and that doesn't mean we're not missing out. We get angry at God when He doesn't live up to our expectations. We have decided what is right, and if God doesn't go along with it, He must be wrong, and we don't mind giving Him the silent treatment. Well, I don't need to talk. I don't need to go to God. I don't need to read my Bible. What good is that? A lot of good it did me. You just told God that His word is useless? And you tell me that you fear God like you should? That you honor God the way you should? See, He said, where's my fear? I mean, you should honor me, but if you can't honor me, you ought at least be scared of me. Where's my fear? So we stop reading our Bible. We gradually stop church, one service at a time. Now, I understand there's nighttime driving that you can't do, and I understand there's health and all those kind of things, and I'm not talking about that. I understand there are issues that come up, but God knows your heart, whether you're using those things as an excuse or whether it really isn't safe for you to be on the road at nighttime. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to beat everybody because you understand, but listen, God knows our heart. We stop praying. We stop giving. Little by little, God hasn't done what we wanted Him to do, and we kind of phase out. Now watch. When the sin in this world brings heartache and hurt, we blame God and give Him the silent treatment. Well, if God has made me bitter, it's His fault, And I'm not going to grace God with my presence until he makes it right or I understand why he did what he did and I agree with it. He wouldn't say that, but that's how we live. I don't like what he said. I'm going to do my own thing. Are we honoring God? You know what we're doing? We're making light of God. We're despising God. Despise means to simply disesteem, make light of it. Number two, question. How devoted are you to God? You know what some of us are thinking right now? He wants God to run my entire life. My soul. He wants me to let God run my entire life. Now, fact is, that doesn't mean you got to spend 15 hours on your knees praying all every day. Listen, a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat, right? He knows you got to go to work. He knows you got a life to live. You're supposed to love your wife. You're supposed to love your kids. You're supposed to go out and take care of things. You're supposed to be out in there giving somebody the gospel. You got stuff to do. He knows that. He says, pray without ceasing. Yeah, don't hang up. Some people text without ceasing. Literally. Same thing. How devoted are you? We can be devoted to many things. Now, I'm just going to name a few things and let the Holy Spirit maybe name some things in your own heart. Sometimes we're more devoted to TV than to God. Well, you know, my favorite show is going to come on. I know it's on Wednesday, but you know it's my favorite show. Well, my favorite show is going to come on. I didn't have time to read my Bible, but tomorrow. The ball game's on. We'll plaster a ball team's logo all over us. But we're embarrassed if someone says, oh, you go to church, don't you? Well, yeah, sometimes. Uh-huh. Are you a Christian? Yeah, you could say that, I guess. Hang on. A car race. Fine. I like to go to car races. When I grew up, I used to go to Lincoln Speedway. Sometimes I used to go to Williams Grove and let the dirt fly. You know, go home, we got to wash the cars. Almost the dirt came off the, you know, and got all over the car. And, you know, and get your hot dog and your French fries. Nothing like racetrack French fries, you know. And something special about them. I guess the extra grit, and, you know, and all this stuff and the dirt and just something good about it, you know, and the film on top of your Coke. And I understand that. But sometimes we're more devoted to that person or that team, that racer, that event. Sometimes we're more devoted to our pastime than God. We'll get up for a 6 o'clock tea time. But Sunday school's too early at 9:30. I love you. I'm trying to help us. That's what he was trying to tell us here. He says, maybe our relationship with him would be a little sweeter if we were bothered. Listen, watch this. Suppose my wife was getting, was and this is the truth. I forget when it was. You were getting up early to go. You were going to fly out or something to go someplace to speak or something. And I'll be honest with you. She was going to go out on my day off. And I don't like to get up early. I'm not a morning person. Dr. Belcher used to say, I don't get up in the morning. I resurrect. And I'm not a morning person. Oh, I knew what it was. It was the Jaggers. They were getting ready to leave. Packed up the truck the day before, and they were going to leave. And they were going to leave like 7 o'clock. Now, that's not that early, but I just don't want to. I mean, I'm getting up at 7 o'clock. Maybe 7:30, my day off. Maybe 8. I don't know. I'm a night person, not a morning person. Now, she's a morning person. She gets up at 5:30. But they were going to leave. And I'm thinking, you know, it's only about five, six hours out there. Why don't you leave about 9 o'clock? You know, but no, they wanted to get out there. They had someone out there to help them unload. Now, what would you think if I said, well, I'm staying in bed. You go ahead and leave. Now, think about it. They're going to be gone. I'm not going to see them until Christmas, probably after Christmas, in the flesh, that is. And I want, you know, all the stuff you got. But you have these things, electronics. But suppose I say, I'm not getting up. Now, what would you think? What kind of father is that? Now, the fact is, I wanted to be, I didn't want to see him go, but I wanted to be there when they left. But I just can't get up. Listen, God might show up in church and we're going to miss it. God might have the exact thing that I needed, that I was supposed to have, and I haven't gotten it, and this is my morning, and I'll tell you what, Satan's going to figure some way to keep you up all night, and when it comes time to get up, you're going to say, well, I'm just too tired. I can't get up. But I'll tell you what, if it was time to go to work, you would. You know why? Because you fear the boss. And you why? Because he's your paycheck. We were growing up. My dad was an antique car buff. And it's honest to goodness truth. We would go to Sunday school and then we leave to go to the car show on Sunday. And I'll be honest with you, though I really never got, I liked Sunday school, I never got much out of church, I never felt right. I said, why are we leaving? Church is still going. They're still there. As a little kid, I'm thinking, they're all in there meeting with God and we're getting in the car and leaving. What is that? Now, Daddy said we're going to go, so we're going to go. And I'll be honest with you, I like going. We'd eat out. That was all fine and dandy, but it just seemed strange. We're more devoted to God than, I mean, we're more devoted to our pastimes, like going to the beach or dance class or aerobics or whatever it may be. We're more devoted to the guys down at the diner. I got to go up down there every place I've gone seems like if I go someplace and preach or sing or someplace and I get up in the morning, they don't have the breakfast at the hotel. I'll go down to McDonald's, you know, and get something. You know, every McDonald's has a group of folks that come in at 6 o'clock and have coffee and sit there and talk and chat and tell the same stories. Every one of them. It's amazing. Got that group over there. I was out. Let's see, where was I? I was out in Western Maryland, and I had one come in. He's an Elvis, you know. He's got the pork chop, the sideburns there, and that's the way he talks. Thank you very much. That's just the way it was, you know. They had Elvis there, so that's where he is. Just so you know, that's where he is. But we are devoted to that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You want to do that's fine. That's what you got time for. It's fine. But where's God's devotion? Where's the Lord's devotion? Hang on. I'm more devoted to my friends. No, you should be devoted to your friends. But not more than the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. We're more devoted to making money. Listen, there are some folks who are more devoted to their wardrobe and their appearance. Now, do you think we deserve, don't we deserve to have some fun? Well, deserve? No. But does God mind if you have some fun? No. But do your non-religious fun time on your own time and not God's time. That's the difference. Well, what? But the only time they schedule this event is on Sunday. Well, first of all, that may or may not be true. But secondly, if it's only scheduled on Sunday, then it's not on my schedule. Because God has already scheduled me to be with Him unless I am truly providentially hindered from doing so. And if I'm truly providentially hindered from doing so, then that was on His schedule. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be mean. Where is He in your life? Is He a priority? How devoted are you to the Lord? Well, the Lord will get over it. He will. But why should He have to? He's saying here, we've made light of God in our relationship with Him. Well, you tell me that God's going to get all upset over this little stuff. That's the problem. You say, well, it's just little stuff. If it's just little stuff, then why are you letting it get between you and God? See, the point is not the little stuff. The point is, where is your relationship with Him? If we were disregarded by others in the same way as we disregard God, we'd be insulted. They had a birthday for me, a birthday party for me, but nobody came. You know what I'm saying? You have some event. Well, they didn't even bother. Where are they? I don't know. They decided they just didn't have time. Number three. God's time has become our time. God's time has become our time. Watch. If I don't like the music, I don't know if I'm coming back. If I like the music, maybe I'll come back. If the preacher's funny and interesting and doesn't offend me and doesn't talk too long, I'm sorry, I might come back. If I think that what he's preaching doesn't pertain to me this week or in the foreseeable near future, maybe I won't be back. If the church does not fit into my schedule, I suppose I just can't go. No, we refuse to adjust our schedule so we can fit it in with God's schedule. Well, I don't like getting up early, so I can't come. I've had people say, I can't come because I don't like getting up early. I don't like getting up early either. But tell your boss, you know what? I just don't like kind of getting up early. So I'll see you at 11. And he's going to say, don't bother. I want to start my day on Sunday at 11 a.m. so church goes running too late so I can't come. By the way, it's not our day. And as long as we think Sunday is our day, we know what we're doing? We're despising the Lord. It's the Lord's day. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just telling you the truth. Do you realize who we're standing up when we don't show up for church? You see, we have a date with the Creator of the universe. And when we don't show up, we just stood him up. Well, I didn't make the date. No, you didn't. The Lord of all the universe made the date, and you'd better show up. You ever get somebody had gotten themselves in trouble, and they had a hearing, and I was supposed to go and testify, and I got a subpoena. You know what happens if I don't show up? Now I'm in trouble. Whether they're going to talk to me or not, I've got to be there. If they find out I'm not there and they need me, then I'm in trouble. I'm in contempt of court. Well, say, I got other things to do that day. So what? And you know what? We'll do that. You know why? Because we fear them and honor them. But God, he's okay. He'll get over it. As long as we think it's our day, we're in trouble. We have bosses that just decide to add some hours to our schedule. We must come whether we want to or not. But if God does such a thing, we don't bother because who is he that he should tell me what to do? I can't see him. He's not giving me my paycheck. Well, actually he is. I want to do what I want to do, and if I can please God at the same time, that's great. If not, then God's gracious. He'll get over it. Number four. We will behave ourselves and carry ourselves and dress ourselves to please ourselves, our friends, and our society, and very seldom take into consideration what pleases God. You know what we're doing? We're despising God and making light of the Lord of the universe, the Creator who made us, and the Savior who saved us. Well, if God doesn't like it, not that I'm going to even try to find out what God likes, but if he doesn't like it, he'll just have to deal with it. Well, why should the Lord of the universe and the sovereign ruler over all mankind be telling me how to behave and how to dress? Well, you don't believe that God really is the sovereign Lord of the universe then. That's why I don't stand up here and say, this is what Baptists do. This is what the Bible says. Now, we can get along. We've been doing fine. So I've been doing just fine before you brought all this stuff up. Yeah, and because God is merciful. But just think what the relationship and how sweet it could be if we stopped dismissing what he tells us to do. Just dismiss it. Don't you hate it when people do that? You say something and they just kind of say, okay. And they go ahead and do what they want to anyway. Doesn't that just kind of irk you? And we do it to God all the time. Well, I certainly know better how to dress. I've been doing it a long time. God can deal with it. Listen, I get all dressed up for my friends, but God should take me just like I am. It's his job. If God doesn't like it, just the way I am, I don't need him. God's supposed to be loving. What kind of God is he anyway? And if he's not a nice God that pleases me, then I don't need him. You wouldn't say that, but that's the way we live. Listen, we'll pay $75, that's probably cheap, for a pair of jeans that look like we found them in the trash. Wear pants that's falling down all the time, skirts that you have to pull down so your posterior is not exposed. Go through all the pain of getting body art and poking your body full of holes, but we don't want to be bothered with putting on a shirt and a tie and dressing like a lady. I'm trying to be mean, but think about that. I'm not trying to be mean, but think about that. You know why we do that? Because we want to please everybody else. God loves you the way you are. It's your friend that you feel you have to impress. Someone has convinced you you have to look like them to be loved by them. Listen, I'll say something here. Don't get mad at me, please. Now, guys do all kinds of stupid stuff over the years, you know. I understand that. But I don't want to hurt anybody. But ladies, you're pretty enough without a bunch of tattoos. I'm sorry. You don't need it. God made you. Who told you you weren't good enough? Now, if you got one, I'm not here to embarrass you. And we've all done things and so forth, and maybe you still don't see any. You say, well, I'm expressing myself. Talk to us. I'm not trying to be mean, but you don't need it. You got one? Okay, fine. But you don't need that to be beautiful. The world has told you you need that to express yourself. Well, I'm going to get a tattoo so I'm unique like everybody else. Again, I'm not trying to make fun. I love you folks. Honest. I saw somebody in the newspaper, and I forget what they call him, but apparently he goes into great deep depression, but he's got himself tattooed in such a way that it's what it looks like if it was under the skin. His entire body is tattooed so it looks like what it looks like when you take your skin off. So you see the bones and the teeth and the muscles and the sinews and all this kind of thing. That's the way he got himself tattooed. Bless his heart. I feel sorry for him. My soul. Who has ripped his heart out and told him he's worthless unless he can somehow get somebody's attention? God loves you just like you are. But because he loves you just like you are, maybe we should just go ahead and please him. He's not asking you to do that stuff. God should love me just like it. Well, he does. And you should love and respect and fear God for who he is. Listen, the way I dress and behave has nothing to do with how much God loves me. And that's true. But it tells an awful lot about how much we love him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, if you love God, do what God likes. And by the way, he likes you just like you are. Are we willing to put our preferences and our feelings aside for God, or isn't He important enough in our life for that? We serve God, as He says here, with the leftovers of our life. The sheep that's going to die anyway. The ram with a broken leg that can't survive. We serve Him with the leftovers of our affections. If there's any time to show any affection, we'll give it to God. We serve Him with the leftovers of our time. We serve Him with the leftovers of our energy. We serve Him with the leftovers of our finances. And what's worse, we're teaching our children to live the same way. Now, hang on. I know that. I told you it was going to be hard. I love you. This part of the message will be done. But watch. We promise to make sure our kids get to the ball practice because we fear the coach and he might not let them play, or worse yet, kick them off the team if they're not at practice. But we make little effort to make sure our children get to church sometimes. We work our kids and push our kids so that maybe one day they can be in the NFL. But we don't care enough to make sure that they're going to be in heaven. We treat our pets better than God. We'll spend money, even go into debt. I'm not against pets. Now, I'm not a pet person. I understand that. You know that. But I'm not against pets. But we'll spend our time and our energy and our devotion on our pets, and God can hardly squeeze 2 hours out of our time and a $20 bill out of our wallet. The fact is that this is all we think God is worth. And some folks even get that. They even give that little part grudgingly. We spend a half an hour a day walking and caring for the pet, but can't find 10 minutes to read the amazing Word of God. We come to God with our broken lives, but once He fixes them up, we forget about God and we're out wasting ourselves again. I'll give another thought, number 5 here. I know they're not really in any particular order. The Lord needs to be the top priority of our lives because without the Lord, we have no life. But what about personal devotional time? Well, I do just fine without devotional time. Well, how do you know? How do you know what God could do? How do you know what He does, what He wants to reveal to you, but we don't take the time to read His book? Do you ever go to God in prayer, or do you just go on in life as if God is not a factor? Well, I know what I'm doing. Besides, God doesn't intercede on my behalf the way I want Him to anyway. Well, I see why you don't pray about things. You don't care, or maybe you don't want to know what God has to say about it. Our priority is to do all we can to please the Lord and bring glory to Him, even if it's inconvenient for us. We are to please the Lord even if it means we need to change our agenda or eliminate some things from our agenda. Listen, God should have veto power over our schedules. God should have veto power over our finances and over our life choices. We need to surrender all that we are and change anything in our lives that doesn't please God or is not what He wants. Listen, God, in His mercy, gives us time to choose Him. We take that as if God does not exist and that life is ours to use as we please. The Lord, when given proper esteem, gets the first of our attention, the first of our affection, the first of our time, the first of our energy, the first of our finances. We think God should be grateful and just as pleased as punch when we happen to show up to church, even more so if we show up on time and stay all the way through the invitation. Well, God should be pleased if we throw Him a bone of serving in this archaic organization called a church. God should be pleased if we give Him some of our money. He says, listen, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be father, where's mine honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? in that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Guys, you ever tell your wife you didn't have time to call her? You were supposed to call her. You were supposed to be home a certain time. You didn't have time to call her. How'd that go? You bought a car and you came home and told her. How'd that go? You said, well, it's like I don't even exist. Now, folks, I love you. And I know I said some things that probably hurt, and they weren't intended to hurt. But they were intended to rattle us a little bit, to make us think about some things that we have put in the back shelf and forgotten about. Now, all I'm asking for you to do here this morning is this. Ask God, how much of that pertains to me, and what do I need to do about it? That's the honor and the fear that God's asking. You're not doing it for me. So, well, if I don't do so-and-so, preacher looks down on me. I have no business looking down on anybody. You don't understand that? And then so-and-so said something, they looked at me, stop it. You all have no business looking down your nose at anybody else either. The only one we're answerable to is Him. But we are answerable to Him. I'm just one sinner telling a bunch of other sinners, stop sinning. One doubter telling other doubters, stop doubting. One messed up guy saying that everybody else is messed up. Let's just line ourselves up with the Lord and see what He can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I know it's hard sometimes, but we know that you're true and faithful. And Lord, that's what I'm trying to do. And Lord, if I've done anything other than that, please, Lord, let them know where I messed up or what I didn't say that was right or didn't say it in the right way or whatever. But Lord, I love these folks, and I want us to have that open communication, an open relationship with you. And Lord, so often we just kind of put you aside, make light of your relationship, and we move on with life, and then we wonder why you seem to be non-existent. Help us. Heads are bowed.